Yay, okay. Hello, everybody.
Hi, hi, Lynn and Ann and everybody in Radio Land. Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay. We are here for Growing with NTI. We're doing a little bit differently tonight because I am in Pueblo, Colorado, and Connie Poole, my dearest, most beloved friend and sister, is in Georgetown, Indiana. So, I'm looking at her on the tablet. So we're all here. And what we'll do now? Yeah, thank you. Cheryl was reminding me where we left off. That's what we had concluded. We'll be beginning. It's on page 332 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. We'll be beginning with Galatians 4, verses 21 through 31. Before we do that, hey Carmen. Before we do that, we'll take a moment for prayer. And I just want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude. For the opportunity to join with like-minded mighty companions near and far in learning what this awakening thing's all about. And I am grateful, Holy Spirit, and I would ask that you help us all to hear what it is we're supposed to hear understand what we're supposed to understand, and help Connie and I say what needs to be said. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we start with.
Jacqueline, turn. Okay.
Yeah?
Never mind.
Okay.
I was going to say, I could just barely see him.
Okay.
Okay, I can see you now.
All right, good. We start with a Bible verse, and because I feel like I'm already taxing my overtaxed internet with running all these things, I'm reading from a paper Bible.
Which means a book.
yeah, I mean a book, and it's the King.
We don't need we're so we got so much stuff going on with the computer and stuff, we forget what a book is. A
Yeah.
paper Bible.
That's funny, isn't it? Oh, shoot. Well, and this is the King James Version, and so
The paper Bible.
of the paper Bible. My experience is that it reads a little bit differently than what we normally use, which is the New International Version online. So just a heads up. So we are at Galatians 4. Let me find that. 21 through 31. So I will read from the Bible because the icon in NTI tells us to. It says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar." Boy, this makes me wonder how the other version reads. This is hard to read. "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Okay, next time we meet, we'll read a version that yeah, what? We'll read a version that makes sense. This isn't it.
I beg your pardon.
Right? So anyway, let's that shows you what a great need there is for an interpretation by Holy Spirit. So let's look at Holy Spirit's interpretation of that gobbledygook we just read. It says, Paul shares the story of Hagar and Sarah and Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. He uses this story to teach a lesson, that the story may be used to remember. Let me do the same. For all things may be used figuratively to teach the message of the Holy Spirit. Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren, and Abraham had faith in the Lord. This is like you who look on the world and do not see promise, and yet you have faith that there must be promise you cannot see. Abraham's wife wished that he had a child, just as you wish to know yourself complete. So she gave him her slave girl, Hagar, and Hagar bore a child for Abraham. It was some time later that Sarah, through the miracle of God, became pregnant and bore Abraham a child. Where there was thought to be no promise, there was promise. But it was not seen when the barren womb was understood and believed to be real. Abraham's first son, Ishmael, came from belief in the world. Abraham's second son, Isaac, was born of a miracle. Right, because Ishmael came from the slave girl who wasn't barren, right? Who no problem bearing a child, right? That came from belief in the world, Ishmael. Abraham's second son, Isaac, was born of a miracle because Sarah was like old, 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 I remember, having heard Regina tell this story, and barren, right? So her son, Abraham's second son, Isaac, was born of a miracle. Through him is... Huh?
He didn't have Down syndrome, though.
Doesn't say. He was a miracle child. Through him is seen a promise that God's love rules over the illusion of the world. Through him is seen a promise that God's love rules over the illusion of the world. And in this story, there's a message for you that does not come from your false God. The message is this. Okay, now we're getting to the meat of it. Believe not your God. What you see is not truth. Hold to your faith and wait in patience for what must come to show you the world is not real.
So you think when it says believe not your God, they're talking about like your idol?
Yeah. Believe not your the dream that you idolize, the world. Right. Right. It's lowercase g, by the way, for God.
Yes, okay, I see that.
Yeah, and it's like we've talked about many times, of course, Course in Miracles, chapter 28 says, you know, don't look to the world and believe, you know, believe the proof that it's showing you. Because it was designed to show you something that isn't, you know.
Right, and as we said many times, that is the miracle, when you start to look at the world and realize it can't show you the truth.
Right, because it was designed to do the opposite. Exactly.
Hold to your faith and wait in patience.
Well,
what must come to show you the world is not real.
Yeah, and I appreciate you reading that again. What do you want to say about that?
Well, Well, it sounds like that whole rest thing that Regina goes on and on about, and I don't mean that detrimentally. I mean, it's finally start to sink in with me, so she must go on and on about it. Oh, yeah, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, wait a minute. Rest?
Rest, accept, and
Okay,
trust.
so hold your faith and wait in patience. So, rest a minute, and then it's kind of like not being able to see the problem in the problem. So if you got so much angst about what to do, you have to be able to step out of the problem for a minute in order to be able to see the problem.
And hold to your faith and wait in patience for what must come to show you the world is not, for what must come to show you the world is not real. And I think that you're exactly right, that this is can be done in the moment, rest, accept, and trust, or it might be a longer period of rest where you're going, what the F? None of this makes any sense. And it sure looks like,
He's a jerk. He's a jerk.
well, or it sure looks like, my finances are in ruins and, and whatever. I mean, whatever the larger life situation, and it's like, just hang on, just hold up. You don't know what's in store for
Calm
you.
down.
What?
Calm down.
Calm down. Right. You don't know what's in store for you, so just hold to your faith. Know that all things work together for good. Know that this is a benevolent universe. And wait in patience for what must come to show you that the world is not real. And as Cheryl says, and we don't know what anything is for, what we want. And not, and what is, I don't know, don't get that last part. May not what is meant to be. She says, sorry for the grammar. So Connie, I saw you holding your ears. Were you having trouble hearing me?
I just decided to try and get these buds right over my ear, because it's a little garbled, but it's better now.
Okay, good. Good. All right. So it says in the story of Sarah, and we're on page 333, by the way, finishing up Galatians chapter 4. In the story of Sarah and Hagar, Sarah asked Abraham to send Hagar away. Abraham asked God, "What should I do?" God answered that he should listen to his wife. This was not a rejection of Hagar by God, for God does not reject. This is a symbol to help you see. The releasing of Hagar represents the releasing of faith in the world. For as long as you hold to your faith in the world, you are not placing your faith fully with God. Like we've said a million times, maybe we ought to talk about something different because we say that all the time, like we've always said. But as we've said, it's one column or the other. You're either in your right mind or your wrong mind. So if you're trying to be in both columns, you can't be. You can't fill a cup that's already full. So if you're placing your faith in the world, if you're running back to the thinking mind all the time and going, what do I do now? Based on what I know and the experiences that I've been through and my personality, thinking mind, what should I do? And how the world works, and it's like you and I were talking about a few minutes ago, Connie, with the retreat center, right? We're looking at Awakening Together is looking at a $3 million ranch for our retreat center, and we've got something like Last numbers I heard, $250,000 in the bank. Maybe it's 150. I don't know. It's small in comparison to 3 million. Everything's small, right? But that's just it. I mean, you don't go. You don't go. So why are we looking at the rent? I mean, you are allowing for every possibility, every potentiality, right? The reason that we're looking at this ranch is because when we went there, the heart exploded. My heart exploded. Regina's heart exploded. Lisa, Hester's heart. Anybody who has gone to see this ranch has had that same whoosh, you know, the same feeling of this is what it's meant to be. And so we don't sit down and although we sit down, we look at the documents, you know, and we've talked to the realtors and, you know, we're looking at the restrictions on the land, but you don't go down and sit down with your pencil and paper and go, now how do we get from A to B?
You know, I was looking at I guess email the other day, and I have all that stuff on there still from Lisa. What was her
Hester?
name? Lisa.
Hester? Oh, Lisa Fair?
No, Lisa Nicole or
Oh, Natoli. Lisa Natoli. Got it.
Natoli, and it was one, actually it was one of her students that was on there, and she was saying. She had to find, she'd taken a shortcut and defined the miracle as the miracle being, what'd she say? Just in essence, a replacement of, I don't know, love with fear was a miracle.
Replacement of fear with love.
Yes. So you're exactly right. I mean, if you're looking at that place and you're looking at it going, gosh, you know, we got what is that, 1/6 of the monies we would need to buy this, and I don't think it's ever going to happen. And you're not allowing for the miracle because you're consumed with the fear
Not having.
of a world that's not real anyways,
Right,
right?
and by the way, I think it's
So,
like 1/60th, but go
oh, well, maybe.
ahead.
Yes, and plus this whole thing is once again what we keep saying. I know you said we keep saying it, that it's the two columns, but it's also once again it is that description of what forgiveness is. And of course, we know everything is the same. A miracle is forgiveness, is salvation, is love, is oneness, is, but that whole thing of not having your faith. This is talking about hold on to your faith and wait in patience for what must come to show you the world is not real. That's the forgiveness. That's the definition of forgiveness. Because to say what our judgments about the world is reality, and then act upon it as if it, that was real,
Yeah, that's where you're placing
when
your
it's not.
faith is in
Yes.
the rules of the world, the laws of the world, what you think you know about how the world works. You don't have a 1/60th of the money one day. And even seriously consider that any time in the near future you might have something else. That's not what we think about how the world works.
Exactly.
So you place your faith in the limitations that you've experienced, that you think you know something about.
Yes, and that keeps you from the miracle, and that keeps you from forgiveness and salvation and all those divine things.
Yeah, so as it says here on page 333, for as long as you hold to your faith in the world, you are not placing your faith fully with God. In all of this, I give you symbols to help you learn that the truth is beyond the false. The false will speak first and seem to make sense.
Sounds like the ego, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And you often repeat that line from A Course in Miracles. Ego always speaks first. I think there's a certainly a. I think that when at some stage in your awakening, on this path to awakening, you know that changes. But it says it right here. The false will speak first and seem to make sense. So I was going to say, I think at some point that changes for people at
Let
some
us know.
stage. I will. I'll get back to you on that, Connie. But it says the false will speak first and seem to make sense. But I have shown you that this is not of God. Be not tempted by the first or its promises of salvation. This is not where salvation lies. And you know, and I've been doing a lot of talking about this lately because that's what, you know, that's what the thinking mind is designed for. It's designed, come on over here, Jacqueline, I'll keep you safe. Let me tell you. Oh, I've been seeing this 100 times. Let me tell you, this is how it works, right?
Yeah, that was kind of your message on Sunday, wasn't
And you know, and because that's a voice we've always gone, you know, oh, okay, tell me. You know, that's a voice I've been hearing for 56 years. You know, that's the one that I'm tempted, you know, that seems to make sense. That's the one I think is me.
Yeah.
That knows something, and that promises salvation. But it says that is not where salvation lies. Wait, and there's your rest, right? Wait
Yeah.
for God, which does not come from the world. It is through the experience of God that you will learn the truth of God is eternal and beyond the empty promises of the world.
Yeah, I'd like to say something here.
Please.
You know, when you were have when you had you were giving your talk on Sunday, it occurred to me that this is exactly why you have to step through the fear, because you do find your salvation, or we think our salvation is based on what the world is saying. We think our salvation is based on protecting this entity at all cost. And that's what keeps us feeling the solidity that you talked about. I'm not saying any of this very well.
No, you're saying it well.
Yeah, so when somebody says, you know, you're not a very good parent, we don't have to jump right into our defenses anymore. Because all of this is speaking to that. You spoke to it, Sonny, and this is certainly speaking to that. That we don't have to jump in and say, oh, I am so, and I had reasons why I wasn't home at dinner every night. You know, instead, there's just nothing to defend, and there's nothing to defend because you're defending a false entity anyway.
Right. Right, because all that's only a concept.
Yes,
It's only a model that you've
because
built.
my personality is only a concept.
Right.
Hello.
Hey, I'm sorry. There's a lot going on in the living room in there.
Katie Kay.
I don't think she's in there. I think it's just the wind blowing the curtains around. Okay.
Okay, I got stars all over chapter 5.
Okay.
An exclamation marks, 3 exclamation marks, the stars, and it's underlined and circled.
Well, would you like to read it?
Okay. Galatians chapter 5, bottom of 333, verse 1. Watch your mind, for it is only your own thoughts that may enslave you.
Yeah.
Whenever you do not feel free, you are believing illusions.
Wow.
There is a direct correlation between your thoughts and beliefs and your present experience. But as you have already been told, your experience, when it is not the experience of love and absolute freedom, is not the truth. Wow, you just close the book, right?
You really don't need to know any more than that, do you?
That's right. I got a tattoo that on my arm and go on.
And go on. Yeah, and I talked about this a little bit on Sunday too. It's that idea that, people talk about being liberated, as if they're in bondage. And what is it that they're in bondage to? They're in bondage to they're in bondage to these models of themselves that they've created, themselves in their world, themselves in relation to the world. And I say them, and I mean us. That's what we seem to be in bondage to.
Our beliefs have put us in bondage. And it's kind of like doing an inquiry. Whenever you've done a successful inquiry and get all the way on the other side of it, the relief you feel is what it's talking about here. It's that freedom. It's like, oh my God, can you believe I've been believing like this and have enslaved myself and kept myself in bondage and wasn't the truth at all? And oh my God, what a relief. I mean, I've had some inquiries that when you come out the other side, you're feeling like that, and that seems sort of just the tip of the iceberg, like maybe like everything's like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this book tells us, A Course in Miracles tells us, you've got to give up every belief you have, every single belief that you have, every single value that you hold. Those are the things that are keeping you in bondage.
So if every belief you gave you that kind of relief, it'd be nice.
Well, I think they would. Certainly the
Think
ones
they
that.
would?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the ones that we've seen. I mean, really, like you said, when you do a good root, quote unquote, good root cause inquiry, when you get that aha, you're like, oh my God, of course that's why I'm upset with her, because I think I'm stupid or, whatever it is, right? I think I'm unworthy. And yeah, and you can see that it's a trick you're playing on yourself. And every time you get to that aha moment in the root cause, what do I want to say about that? You see how silly your beliefs are, and you're willing to let them go.
So if you're just, what was that?
Something came up on my calendar.
Oh, something's going on in my head. I'm sorry.
Ahead. Ding, ding, ding.
I just became enlightened.
Heard it here
Okay,
first,
there's your
folks.
symbol.
What'd you say?
There's your symbol.
Yeah. What were you in the middle of saying? Any idea before you became enlightened?
If you have that with your random every once in a while inquiry that you make, if you could take them all of your beliefs through that process, look how free you would be.
Yeah, and I listened to a talk that I did in the As It Is program. I think it was, I don't know, it was in March. I titled it something about a formula. But anyway, I was listening to it today because it didn't have a title. So I was, I wanted to go back in there and put in a title. And I was reading from my journal, and that was what Holy Spirit was saying to me in that journal, which was, you think you only need to inquire into your big upsets, but you need to inquire into everything. I mean, and that's what this is saying. Whenever you do not feel free, you are believing in illusions. Whenever, whatever it is, A Course in Miracles talks about, what is it, a sigh being a wish for death or something dramatic like that? And it's like, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, Byron Katie say something similar, like, none of your beliefs are true, but let's just focus on the ones that cause you pain.
It's a good place to start. It's a good place to start. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, are you reading?
No, you are.
Okay.
No more exclamation marks.
Funny, you got that once before. Watch your mind, for it is only your own thoughts that may enslave you. Whenever you do not feel free, you are believing illusions. There is a direct correlation between your thoughts and beliefs and your present experience. There is a direct correlation between your thoughts and beliefs and your present experience. Right? That's that perceptual loop. What I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think.
And not only that, it's the oppression that you're experiencing every day because you've oppressed yourself with these oppressive beliefs.
Yeah, that you're voluntarily taking on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But as you have already been told, your experience, when it is not the experience of love and absolute freedom, is not truth. Connie, what are you doing there, honey? You're making a lot of noise.
I'm shuffling around. Can you see me now? Okay.
This means, okay, let's look at it again. Your experience, when it's not the experience of love and absolute freedom, is not truth. This means you are not powerless to your experience. You do not know who you are, but you are opening to the possibility that the truth may be true. As opposed to that BS you've been believing, right? This is to create an opening in your conscious awareness through which spirit can flow as you. Just the possibility that that crap you've been believing might not be true, that something else is true, is enough to offer an invitation to inner wisdom and go, you know what? You're right. None of that's true.
Yeah, it's kind of like a trickle of water
Yeah. I had the same
getting
image.
started and it's finding its way through.
I had that same image. Absolutely. Yeah. You are still resistant to my words because you still want to believe in the world. You still want to believe in the world. But if you will focus your willingness on the part of your mind that wants the truth above everything else, you will find that willingness will grow. And with it, joy will expand within your conscious awareness.
Well, that's quite the promise.
It's really amazing. And I've been working with a group of students in MPP certification training about root cause inquiry, and we've been working with really getting down to the root emotions, because those emotions open up the sorry, I just got a notification, couldn't figure out what that noise was. Because once you get to the emotions, that leads you then to the beliefs. But the point is, we've been talking about how sneaky it is, and like a student will say, well, I was sad. And it's like, sad's not very descriptive. And just when you work with folks on this root cause inquiry, you find that it's like they have like four emotions: happy, sad, angry, frustrated, or and so you really have to dig to see that you're living in this not so happy place. We desensitize ourselves. That's why we can't figure out what we're feeling. We desensitize ourselves because we're experiencing anything but joy.
And I had this very similar conversation just the other day. I was talking about Byron Katie and And part of the problem is that, you know, that people do not communicate. They just go, I don't like that. You know, and I'm getting a divorce. I mean, there's no communication going. You know, we were talking about somebody Pacific, but I probably shouldn't say it on the radio. But the whole thing is that, you know, the other person, I mean, doesn't even know what's wrong. Because you haven't communicated at all. They're just frustrated and the whole relationship falls apart because nobody can express themselves.
And of course that's what
And
the
tons of assumptions have been made and like I say, there's no communication.
And that's because we're not in communication with
Ourselves,
ourselves.
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, if I can't express it to myself, I sure as the hell can't express it to you.
Yeah, and it was lovely. I don't know where it was, but you had a book that had all those emotions listed in it, and you could go, "How am I feeling about this?" Well, I'm sad. Well, okay, that's not quite going to get it. And then you could go through your book, and you could find, "Oh, that's closer. Oh, that's it." So if you're out of touch, there's even lists that bring you back in touch with with yourself.
There's a list of emotions. You can basically you can Google it and get a list of emotions. But you're talking about Dietrich Wolziak's Choose Again materials. So we don't know. And again, it seems like you and I spend a lot of time talking about A Course in Miracles. In this NTI discussion group.
Well, it's all one and the same, don't you think?
A course says, you don't know the difference between pleasure and pain. We don't know we're miserable, is the whole point here. And this
Yeah, I've looked
says,
at some of my relationships and go, God, I was miserable and thought I was happy.
thought I was happy, right? So the point of the paragraph is to focus on your willingness. I'm not sure
Oh.
that
Sorry, got off track there, folks.
got said. But if you will focus your willingness on the part of your mind that wants the truth above everything else, you will find that willingness will grow, and with it, joy will expand within your conscious awareness.
Focus.
We're on 334, Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. Let me tell you what this means. For to explain this to you is to teach you who you are and how love works within the illusion. I have asked you to focus on your willingness. And I have told you that willingness is light in the mind. You will know this is true when you focus on that willingness, for it will give you the feelings of light. It's lovely. We spent half an hour talking about feelings. This is what we were talking about too when we were talking about Big Wall Ranch. The ranch we're looking at for the retreat center. That's what I was trying to express. Those feelings that seem to come from the bottom of, for me, the way I experience it, is that they come from the bottom of my heart, maybe like the
And well up.
top of my ribs, and then go straight up through my throat, and just, and it's just a rushing up of of joy. I mean, and energy and excitement, potentiality, and it's like, and all that comes rushing up from within you. And that's what this is talking about. It says, I have told you that willingness is light in the mind. You will know this is true when you focus on that willingness, for it will give you the feelings of light.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
There was, you remember that woman at the academy? She was a you know, at the time she was a young girl about our age, but she would have a she'd be having a spiritual experience, and you could just see the color. I don't know which way it went. You could see the color. You could see it just go
Oh,
through her body,
on.
like almost like an embarrassment. You
Oh,
know how
right.
you how when you how you change when you get you could watch her having spiritual
Oh,
experiences.
wow. No, I don't remember that one. But all right, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's just like you say. It's that joy, just that willingness and that joy just taking over your body.
Yeah. In the beginning of your acceptance, you see yourself as an individual, separate from everything, within a very real world. And yet you call for love, and we all do, right? All we're ever doing is searching for love. That call is your willingness, eager to be reunited with itself, capital I, itself, in awareness.
What a sweet definition of willingness, right? Just your call for love. How sweet.
Amen. That call is your willingness, eager to be reunited with itself in awareness. You know, to be made, I want to say be made manifest, but that's not really. That's for manifestation, that's form. But right, to be in your conscious awareness. It's like I'm here, right? And
Yeah.
to be within awareness. That call, being a spark of light, is your link to your source, capital S source.
The call of love is a spark. The call of love, which is a call for willingness, is a spark of light that is the link to your source. Cool.
Therefore, it comes to you with all the power and strength of the source. You only need focus on it to become aware. Nothing else is needed. Of course, you know, we think we need, you know, at least, oh, a good 30 years of meditation and some other kind of whatever kind of practice is, you know, on the, you know, is popular. At the time, I mean, we think, you know, oh, surely there's more to that, you know, and there's just not more to it than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's where is your
Yeah.
focus?
Yeah, where's your desire?
Yeah.
Desire. I can hear myself echoing desire.
My country cousin, sis. Yeah. You only need focus on it to become aware. To become aware of all the power and strength of source. Nothing else is needed.
That's quite fantastic.
Yes. We are, Sharon's asking what page we're on. We are on 334. Near the bottom. Last full paragraph we're getting ready to read. As you focus on your willingness, you become aware of new ideas that come to replace old. This is truth come to replace illusion. By focusing on your willingness to accept these ideas, the individual mind begins to transform. Cool. That's like, you know, Regina talks about the rewiring of the brain. You know, you develop these new neural pathways. You all have heard me talk about how, I mean, particularly when, you know, I was on that enlightenment intensive, that my first, you know, full dip into this, I think, although I've been doing it all my life, you know, where I'm absolutely immersed in it. I mean, I could feel things shifting in my brain. It was like, it was weird. It was really weird.
Well, you remember we used to go see Liberty at the Academy, and she'd look at you and she'd go, You've had a shift. Remember?
You're right. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, or you'd say something and she, oh my God, you've had a shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just it transforms the individual
Yeah.
mind. Yes.
Yeah, it's immediately evident.
Yes. As the mind.
Yeah, how cool is this? Is there's this is just saying that your willingness is your call for love.
And relate that to the transformation of the mind. I'm just wondering why you're jumping back to
It's
that.
it's the spark. It's the you know, it's that trickle of water that's getting through. And the more you're able to put your focus there on your desire for on that call,
Yeah.
the more it seems to have manifestation or transformation in your life.
Right, absolutely. Well, and that is what this paragraph is saying, because first the mind begins to transform, and then it says, as the mind transforms, sight is also transformed. Your perception of yourself as an individual becomes less dense. Your belief in the world as law is less solid. You focus more love on your willingness, and you feel and see more. That's amazing.
Yeah.
As the light expands in your mind through focus, you come to see the whole world is brightened. Four, the light expands in all minds as it expands in yours. And because we're
Well.
one, that would have to be so, right? I mean, it's not, again, it's hard to see from the separate point of view, from the individual's point of view, but it's one mind. So the
Yeah.
expansion of light is the expansion of light in the one mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where that flow comes in. The trickle that gets in and has capabilities of that expansion to all minds,
Yeah.
which is, you know, which is what Jesus did.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I know the fundamentalists talk about being the savior for the world, but well, he's the savior for the world because he's the savior of the one mind.
Right. Right, because he transcended the world.
Yes.
Yeah, the belief in the world. Yeah. Whew, okay, my brain's feeling a little squishy now. Let's see. As the light expands in your mind through focus, you come to see the whole world. Well, let's see. Hang on a second, because I want to back up and address what Cheryl said. This is what NTI John chapter 7 is referring to. Yeah, and then we're looking at that for general healing. Yeah, that's the light that's being referred to. Can I read it? Sure. You want me to release the mic? Okay, we're releasing the mic.
Hey, girl, that was really cool. And I think you're exactly right. Yeah, after a while, everything's saying what the last chapter said. Absolutely, when you started off and you said if you hold on to your fear out of a sense of self-protection, you hold on to your unwillingness to embrace the light. Well, that was Jacqueline's sermon on Sunday. That we hold on to our fear. To keep our identity, to keep this false personhood.
Yeah, it's amazing how all this how all this. Oh, it's like that song, like "Go to Shore." You got to have the experience of the other, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm just so impacted because I've been doing this my whole life. is protecting who I think Connie is, and I'm just now figuring out that if I can give up the need to protect that, even though it's going to be scary, like you talked about in your sermon. Oh God, who am I if I'm not protecting Connie? Who is Connie if there's she's nobody because there's nothing to protect. But that's scary because she's nobody. But then we can read like we did at the bottom of this and of page 334, where it talks about, it's telling you the what's it telling you? That your belief in the world of the law is less solid. You focus more on love, on your willingness, and you feel and see more. The light expands in your mind through, so there certainly is a promise there if you can step out of having to defend this little ego of you can step through that and focus your willingness on that love and that heart that Cheryl was reading about, that there certainly is a greater promise here.
Well, and it is because, it's like we were reading about a minute ago, and like we talked about on Sunday, it's like we're our own prison guards. I mean, what is it that we're protecting? It's our belief in these illusions that makes us so damn miserable in the first place. That is the bondage. And most of us come to feel that bondage. So while the confused mind would scream, "Oh, that's going to require the sacrifice of me." Well, thank God, right? Thank God. Let's get rid of it.
It's like it's like you said, we're miserable and don't even know
Yeah.
it.
Well, and we're
Because
starting to figure it out.
we're protecting something that's making us miserable.
Right. Yeah. That's it exactly. So you begin to see that it's maybe not such a great sacrifice after all.
Yeah. Go ahead and tear me down. I don't have to defend it anymore. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe Connie is a shit, Okay, you didn't have to agree. Whoops, there you go.
All right. Okay. Well, guess what? We're out of time. It is 2 minutes before the hour. So, we read what did we read? We read Cheryl. You know where we started? Galatians 4 verses 21 through 31. We read all with the rest of chapter 4. We are ending with chapter 5. We're in the middle of verses 7 through 12. So we'll probably start with that again next week. So we love you guys. We appreciate the opportunity to share with you, to share our insights, to share our missteps, to share just to be here with you. And we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful that this worked and Connie and I were still able to do it together.
Yay! Thank you all. Thank you for letting me participate because it is transformative. Get rid of Connie. I love you. I love all of you. Good
Yeah.
night.
Good night, everybody.